You're Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Friday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola. Tom, my dreams came true about those Canadiens reverse retro jerseys that I mentioned last week. Those things were sharp last night.
They were beautiful. And, you know, for a team that generally doesn't dip into the alternate uniform universe, I thought they were tremendous. And the other thing, Joe, is across the league, we've seen more of them unveiled head-to-toe full uniform. And a lot of them, I think, on Thursday and Wednesday were terrible, were busts. I thought Columbus was awful. St. Louis, it didn't seem to work. Winnipeg looks like the LA Kings on your TV set. Yeah. Toronto last weekend. There's some bad ones, but when you get 31 new uniforms and there's a concept and a theme to them, you know you're going to get some duds. LA, I thought, looked tremendous the other night in purple and gold. It was going to be hit or miss to begin with, but the hits, I think you can really appreciate, and Montreal falls into that category without question.
For sure. And like Montreal, right? Like they usually don't dip into obviously like alternate uniforms. They do not need to. And they did it perfect. Like they didn't change their jersey really at all. They just flipped the colors. Like they stayed in a classic look, but while also, you know, going with the concept of what the league was trying to do. I'm surprised you said that about the Jets, because I hated the Winnipeg Jets jerseys when they were unveiled, but I kind of liked them on the ice. Now, I did not watch that game, so I can't tell you, you know, what they looked like from the TV angle up higher. I'm only speaking as to like the close up pictures on the ice that I saw. So maybe I would change my opinion had I watched the game, but I liked them at least in those pictures I saw like from ice level. But I will also say, I thought I was going to love the Columbus Blue Jackets third jerseys with the red and the white shoulders. I thought that was going to really pop, and I hated it on the ice.
Yeah. They didn't work. And same with St. Louis for the Jets. It's funny talking to our TSN counterparts in Winnipeg. We had this conversation. I was on with them a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, what about the Jets reverse retro? And they're like, they might not look good on TV, but when you see them in person, the gray pops and they actually do look really good. And I think that kind of falls in line with Vegas's gold uniforms, because if you look at Vegas and in your TV set or the broadcast, whatever the settings are on the cameras or your TV, they look like the mustard yellow from what we saw with Nashville maybe a decade ago with their third jerseys. But then when you see them up close and in person, like you're saying with the Jets, you see the sparkling gold and they look really, really nice. So, you know, our wonderful technology and our 4K and all of that is great. Yep. But, you know, to get the perfect image from the arena to the TV set in wonderful 4K. There's some steps along the way and filters and settings that could totally throw it off, and you can't truly appreciate how those uniforms really look. And that's interesting and just part of the game. But in person, if they look good, muy bueno, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Lots to get to on today's episode. Some COVID news around the league, the new glass rules for behind the benches. The Penguins are having some turbulence in their general manager search, maybe even more than that. Like maybe they're not even off the ground. They're off the runway yet, honestly. And then
Penguins can't fly.
Yeah. Right. So it's a Penguins GM search nonetheless there.
Yes.
And then Calgary's got a couple of stories going on with them. Both trade related, one maybe coming in, one maybe going out. So the Flames will be a team that we talk about later as well. Let's start though with a story that is all we've been talking about here in Buffalo is the NHL COVID outbreaks in the last week. The reason we're talking about in Buffalo is they are right now one of three teams league wide that are in a shutdown, added to the Minnesota Wild and the New Jersey Devils. The Devils at last check have 16 players on the COVID protocols list. Minnesota has 7. Buffalo is at 5, but their head coach Ralph Kruger also has tested positive for COVID. So all three teams in a shutdown. Now, Tom, you of course feel free to hit on just that in general if you want, but I'll just let you know, like the thing we're talking about here is the league allowing the Sabres to play the Devils on Saturday and Sunday when the Devils had two players on their COVID protocols list. And I was like wondering, I don't think anyone was making a huge deal about it, but it was interesting to me that those games were not postponed at the time when a couple of days before they had postponed Vegas versus St. Louis due to one player and one coach being placed on the COVID list. So like, what was the difference there? I kind of let it be. Most people let it be. And then a couple days later, boom, all these Devils are being put on the list and the Sabres are in shutdown because of that. Then we find out that there's five players and the head coach that have tested positive. And there's been a lot of reporting on this. Like Bob McKenzie reported, the Sabres took their concerns to the NHLPA about playing that game on Sunday. And John Vogel of The Athletic reported that the Sabres were furious with the league about this whole situation. Bill Daly then told The Athletic, the NHL deputy commissioner, that nobody expressed concerns to the league before Sunday's game. So either someone's not telling the truth here is basically what we're trying to figure out. Is did Bill Daly just flat out lie and that they went ahead with the game anyway, even though people were concerned? Or did the PA not take the Sabres' concerns to the league prior to that game? Either way, it's not a good look, to me, at least from my vantage point, with all this COVID news and having all these teams now in an outbreak.
Yeah, and Joe, toss the Colorado Avalanche into the mix of teams right that are now postponed till the 11th. So I was wondering that out loud on my show on TSN Radio here in Edmonton yesterday, because they had just played Minnesota and we saw the outbreak with the Wild. As for the Sabres and that situation, it's crap. Like, it's a crap situation. And it was handled like crap. Bill Daly coming out saying nothing was brought to their attention. I'm inclined to believe that that is crap too. But at the same time, like, I'm not there. I'm not deep diving into it. But reading John Vogel's article the other day, hearing why the Sabres were upset, rightly so, and then the lack of transparency right now is what blows my mind. I know that the league has put in new protocols, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But I don't understand, and I don't know why the Buffalo Sabres would be lying about going to the league and asking about right the New Jersey Devils situation, because they saw some indicators that should concern them, did concern them, and mm-hmm apparently they brought it up. They were given no information from the Devils or the league. Mm-hmm. What I can't comprehend is why there was a lack of discussion and transparency.
That's we're, right.
There's no competitive God advantage, Joe. Like, toss out, oh, so-and-so is not playing tonight, so-and-so is not playing tonight, or this afternoon in the case of the Devils and Sabres over the weekend. You're not in it. Like, I understand if like some of your big players, like a Palmieri, and now Taylor Hall's out, Ristolainen, and yep and so on. I understand, like, you don't really want to be tipping your hat to the opposition, but I think we're beyond that with COVID right now. And this is the year of the exception, where you yep don't lie about it. And I know that the NHL is following, or has been known to follow, the NFL/CDC-led study from almost a year ago, I believe it was, or in the spring of 2020, that said transmission between players in the field of play does not occur. I'm starting to have my doubts about that, considering how much more we know about this virus in the last 10 to 12 months that we've learned. And we're seeing these positive outcomes and test results and a swath of teams basically being sidelined because of it. So it's a head scratcher, Joe. Mm-hmm. If I was a Sabres fan, I'd be furious. I personally am worried about Ralph Krueger, because I know yeah him. One of the best people I've ever met in the world of sports, in the game of hockey. It was a pleasure to deal with him, work with him on a day-to-day basis. And the guy's 61 years old now. We know that this affects older people. Ralph's in absolutely tip-top shape. Yes, I have no yes doubt that he'll get through it. But it just reeks of crap, all of this. Yeah. And the league needs to figure it out, give its head a shake, and sort this out properly.
Yeah, definitely. Like, best wishes to Ralph Kruger, and hopefully it's a mild case, or, you know, sometimes there's no symptoms at all. Like, hopefully it's one of those two.
Yeah,
for Kruger. And like you said, he is in tip top shape for a 61-year-old man. But like you said, like, it's a serious disease. And like Marco Rossi, the Minnesota Wild rookie forward, who got COVID right around the time of the World Juniors, a month later, he's not even back on the ice skating because of
no.
So it can affect you, and that is a, you know, that's a teenage hockey player in like the prime physical shape of his life. So you never really know how it's going to affect you. So it's not something to be taking lightly, and it's not something that I think you should be able to hide from, like the league does typically with injuries in the past, like upper body, lower body. They don't really tell you timelines or anything, which, you know what, I would be able to get past that if within the league and within the team-to-team information that it was becoming known. Because like in the NFL and in Major League Baseball, like the public, like us, the media, we find out who's on the list and why. Like, they're testing positive. Is it because they're a close contact? Like, it's very transparent. And I would be okay with that if what the way the NHL has done, where they don't tell you who's tested positive. It's just like, okay, these guys are on the COVID protocol list, and that's really all we get. Mm-hmm. But when you also are doing that team to team, and if the Sabres want to find out, well, did Palmieri test positive? Because that will be concerning for us taking the ice, and the Sabres then don't get any information back because of that, because of the way they do it. That to me is taking it a step too far. So, right, there needs to be more transparency. And now, if I may move on to what's going on with a new COVID protocol for the league, is they are going to be taking the glass out from behind the benches. And I thought it was interesting last night in Florida, if you didn't see this, that after the NHL added to the protocol, they were going to take the glass behind the benches out. The Panthers still had it in there. And the team said they couldn't take it out because their private club seats are right behind the benches. And you know what? Like, it was the day of, and maybe you can hide behind, you know, it just happened, like, we didn't have time to do it. But I was seeing pictures from all over the league of teams taking it out. Like, I don't think it should have taken, it's not something you should take a week to do. And even that screamed to me, well, they're going to pick money over player safety if they think they can ever get away with it. And that was just another instance where it's like, how serious are you taking this?
Clearly, Florida is not taking it seriously. That's a great example of it, and I'm going to touch on that, obviously. But that one supermarket in Florida where you saw the video, I think it's going viral, where nobody's wearing masks. Everyone's like, it looked like the good old days, basically. And that's just a microcosm of what Florida's doing. It's beyond me. It's bizarre to an extent. It's what I witnessed and experienced in Arizona. Although indoors in Arizona, when I was there throughout December, you had to mask up. It is the almighty dollar. How hard is it, Joe? And I know that club area at the top of the section behind the benches, it's beautiful. How hard is it, Joe, to modify that? What if you put glass stanchions and barriers like 10 rows up? What if you actually behind the benches closed off those sections, but still had the side sections where fans couldn't be, you know, 10 to 15 rows within the benches, and they could go and enter their club area from the side? It's a time of compensating and finding alternate ways of doing things. Why can't you do that? Like, that's a cheap excuse in Florida. Hopefully they're compliant. I saw it and I rolled my eyes. I'm like, come on, you guys. Like, this is getting ridiculous. Yep. And, you know, we're seeing this HEPA filter being put in behind benches. I don't know how much that changes things. Hopefully it makes it better. I don't know. But it to me, that Florida situation was a cheap excuse. And yeah. It's for the almighty buck. I get it. The league is going to lose a ton of revenue. But hey, Panthers, like, figure out an alternate solution, a compromise. It's not hard. We right. know how this works now. We've been dealing with this garbage for a year. Figure it out. Don't make it stupid, this is clearly stupid.
And speaking of something that could become stupid, did you see what the league plans to do with, like, the puck over the glass penalty with no glass behind the benches now?
That one I didn't get any clarification on. I was scratching my head looking at that. What are we at now? What are we hearing, Joe?
The latest I saw was still from yesterday, so maybe there's been more on this that I missed, but I might have missed it, but I haven't seen anything. The last I saw was that referees will be able to call puck over the glass in instances where it's where it's fired over the benches with the glass removed, but it's almost going to be left up to the referees. Like, it's almost going to become a subjective call now in those areas. And like, of course, that nothing can go wrong there, right?
No, that's a tremendous idea. Okay, if they're going to remove the glass, let me just throw this out there. What's stopping them to maybe eliminate any confusion of putting up like netting where the glass was at the same height of the glass? Temporary netting. Is that too hard to put into place or ask to do? That way it would solve that problem. Could cost teams a game. And if they're that worried about it and they want to make it subjective and they want to leave it up to the refs and their eyes at angles, just put up some damn netting at 6 feet or whatever the height of the glass is behind the bench. Because the air travels through that, does it not?
I would think so. I think that's actually a really good idea that I haven't heard from anybody.
I mean, it's not hard.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what's going to happen. Stanley Cup final. There's going to be, we're going to get, you know, make-believe glass in like highlights thereafter. God. People trying to tell if a close call that determined the outcome would have been over the real glass or not. Just.
Hey, how about this one? One more. Right. Now that they have all this new technology in all 31 arenas, soon to be 32, could they not put in, with these chips that are in the pucks that they're apparently using again, could they not put in some kind of like tracking system, like a goal line type of technology for this puck over glass thing? Like, are we not there yet? We're making robots dance like humans. So,
don't get me wrong.
Let's figure this out.
I completely believe that there is technology that could allow that to happen. And I also, no way will the NHL, who has spent like 5 years trying to get a chip in a puck and still not be able to make it work, that they're not going to be the ones, I think, to make it happen.
Oh, so. Of course not. And by the way, we're not even seeing any of this technology and data on the broadcast. I saw once this season where they just had a player's name attached, because you can see the little chip in the backs of their shoulders. And I saw just names tracking a player from a all 12 view. I want to see like speed. I want to see shot speed. I want to see zone time. I want to see that stuff. And we're still waiting for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, enough of that stuff. And when we come back, Penguins GM search will be what we get into. And then some on the Calgary Flames a little bit later as well. Here on the Locked On NHL podcast, Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola. Are we ready for some football? The big game is coming up. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. If you're into the game itself and you want to look at the line between Tampa Bay and Kansas City, you can go that route. The over-under, which is pretty high for this Super Bowl. I saw it was definitely above 50. Or prop bets. That's where I put my stuff. That's where I'm looking at. How long is the national anthem going to be? Minute 59? Over. They're going to stretch those vocals as much as they can. They're in the big spotlight. Bet on the halftime show. You can get really fun with it. The color of the Gatorade. Bet online's where you want to be. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications,
and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's check in on the Penguins. Jim Rutherford retires, or steps down, I should say, from his post as general manager early in this season. Kind of a strange one, the timing of it, but it happened, and now Pittsburgh is left to start a search midseason. It seems that they're having a lot of trouble with that. So in the last couple of days, Seattle denied Pittsburgh permission to interview their former assistant general manager and former Sabres GM, Jason Botterill. I thought he would have made a ton of sense, and he would have been my favorite to land that job. Maybe partly because you're already midway through the season. You would bring in a GM that is very familiar with your organization and very familiar with the personnel that is working in place in that front office. But the Kraken don't want to let him interview, or at least the report was not in the timeline that would make it work for Pittsburgh. Maybe that means they wouldn't let him talk until after the season. I don't really know what that could mean. But isn't that strange to you that it's a unique situation because they're an expansion team that doesn't have a roster? And I know like Botterill's been flying around to arenas, scouting players. He was in Buffalo actually last week on the scout list, like in scouting players for the expansion draft. So it's kind of a unique situation in the spot he's in, but I was still surprised that they wouldn't let him even interview.
That tells you how much they value Jason Botterill and what he's going to add to that front office. I know they have Ricky Olczyk as an AGM there as well. They brought in a ton of executives that are going to try to build this team and try to replicate the Vegas model. And you need strong executives and you need people with a ton of experience. People that haven't done it before don't generally lead to success right out of the gate. So I can understand Seattle being defensive and unwilling to let Pittsburgh talk to Botterill. And it's that competitive edge. I know they're on completely different sides of the country, different divisions, different conferences when the teams finally get going and things go back to normal in terms of divisional play, conference play, and all of that. But it tells you how much that the Seattle Kraken values Jason Botterill, what he brings to the table. Pittsburgh's situation is weird all around. The timing of Jim Rutherford stepping down, him just saying it was time. He's had a ton of time to think about this whole situation. You know, at the start of a season when they're not necessarily knocking it out of the park right out of the gates, it's tough. And Pittsburgh is kind of going into this time of transition too. Crosby's getting older. Malkin's getting older. So this is a very, very important decision for the Penguins to see who's going to guide them and maintain their competitive play and roster when their superstars who've been around for 15, 16 years are basically at the pinnacle and reaching the latter stages of their career. So I can understand Seattle, but Pittsburgh at the same time, there's some good candidates out there. I know Ron Hextall was one of the candidates that was interviewed. A name that stood out to me that kind of caught me off guard was Kevin Weeks. I like him. He's a great dude.
He's a great guy.
Excellent broadcaster. He breaks news. He's great on NHL Network. I don't know. I think he still does some color commentary for some of the teams. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I didn't know he wanted to dabble in the executive side of the game. Alvin, I didn't know much about, and he's just kind of being tasked with it. There's some good candidates out there. I heard Peter Chiarelli's name has been tossed out there. People in Edmonton are laughing at that. But Darren Dreger was on my show last week, and he's like, hey, he's got a ton of contacts and friends, and he's still highly respected in the National Hockey League by most people. Mm-hmm. Around here, he didn't do himself any favors, and it ended so badly. It was chaos here by the time Chiarelli was done messing with the roster, and he left a bad taste in everyone's mouth. But I'm watching Pittsburgh with a critical eye, because this is a very important junction for that organization, and who knows what happens.
Here's another weird thing the league does, by the way, on Chiarelli, because I think that, like, especially, you know, Twitter is Twitter, and like everyone likes to gang up on the guy and
easy targets. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is weird that I remember this story back in the summer. I think Greg Wyshynski was the one who reported it, that the league was trying to push Chiarelli into the GM job in Arizona.
Yes.
And it's just weird that like the NHL would ever dabble in that, where like, you know, they're trying to help determine who becomes a general manager around the league. I don't know how, I don't really have a good idea of how odd that is for other leagues, but I wonder if this could be a same situation here, where like the NHL is like, hey, Pittsburgh, you should interview this guy. Like, he deserves to be in a job. And I don't know, but yeah, Joe, Kevin Weeks. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, real quick on that. This isn't new. There are some advocates in the league offices for certain GMs or executives, and they do push. I remember hearing rumblings about stuff like that as long as like 7-8 years ago. The league kind of, or people at the league office being like, "Hey, San Jose, Boston, Colorado, you should talk to so and so. You should talk to so and so." Try to guide them along in the process, and it is weird. I don't know. I can't say I've heard of other leagues trying to do that. I'm sure it does occur in closed quarters, but that's something that's been around for a while, and it does happen.
Yeah, and then the Kevin Weeks thing was a little strange. That like, he's not someone we've ever heard mentioned in these rumors before. In fact, the one broadcaster we normally hear mentioned GM rumors is Pierre McGuire.
Yeah,
and kind of interesting that we haven't really heard his name tossed around here, because I mean,
has he brought it up?
I don't know that he's brought it up. It's his dream job. I'm sure he's brought it up somewhere. But that would be that would be amazing. I would love to see Pierre McGuire in that.
Why?
Job.
Why?
I like humor in the sport. Give me as much humor in the sport as possible. I'm not saying it would have to go poorly, but it would probably go poorly.
It's funny in regard to him. Like, I've never met him. I'm sure he's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
I chuckled when I saw Mike Commodore's tweet about Pierre McGuire's end in Hartford as the head coach, and how he gave confidential scouting reports to the Oilers when the Oilers were absolutely horrible, and it ended up costing him half of his remaining salary. And that's never good. That's something that sticks with you.
And then the last thing I'll say about this Penguins job, by the way, is, do you see the reports about Chris Drury?
Yes.
That Drury, who is right now an assistant GM, in fact, I think he was recently promoted to associate GM with the Rangers, denied or said that he was not interested when they asked for an interview. This actually happened 3 years ago, before the Sabres hired Jason Botterill as their general manager. They tried to interview Drury, and Drury did the same thing. He said, "I want to stay with the Rangers."
Yeah.
And that was the same situation this go round for Drury. So I don't know if maybe he's been promised, like, "Hey, you're the next GM here," at some point in the future, and he's just waiting around for that. Maybe he loves the Rangers that much. But at the same time, if you do, or maybe he's holding out for a better job, because he is a rising up and comer. I know he's been the general manager for USA Hockey as well. And if I'm a new up and coming GM, I don't know that Pittsburgh really, you know, I don't know that Pittsburgh appeals to me all that much, because if I'm looking to make a name for myself building something as a young executive, like, Pittsburgh is not the spot to do that. I'm basically just trying to hold down the fort as long as possible. If I'm Penguins GM, like, I'm just trying to basically, you know, ride it out with Crosby and Malkin for as long as possible. And not everybody needs all the credit, you know, but if that drives you, that's not the landing spot to do that, because you're not going to get credit if they win Stanley Cups. It's going to come back to Malkin and Crosby and Letang. Like, it's going to be the core that was in place there. So I can understand why Drury would pass on a job like the Penguins.
Yep. You know? And that's what puts Pittsburgh in such a precarious situation and spot.
They need a veteran guy, maybe.
It's a head scratcher. It really is. And it's tough because, like you summed it up perfectly. What's going to happen with these Penguins? Time of transition. Yep. Tough spot to go into and try to keep it going.
Right. All right. When we come back on the Locked On NHL podcast, some on the Calgary Flames. There's two different trade rumors reporting on them that we'll get into when we come back here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Built Bar is back and improved with all new packaging and the bars. I didn't think they could taste any more like a candy bar, but our friends at Built Bar somehow figured out a way to add to their 12 permanent flavors: coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange toffee almond, coconut, and my personal favorite, peanut butter brownie. Are now six new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. In addition to tasting amazing, they are great for the healthy conscious guy or gal. Under 200 calories, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. Do not eat one more protein bar until you try Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola. All right, let's get into the Calgary Flames a little bit. They, by the way, in the North Division standings are second from the bottom, sixth place at 9 points. They have an even goal differential on the season. Only Ottawa trails them. They are 3 points back of a playoff spot that is currently held by the Edmonton Oilers, although they do have two games in hand. So, bit of a shaky start to the season for the Flames, but the reason I bring them up more so is because of two separate trade rumors that are revolving them. One involves a guy that I didn't think was going to find another job in the league this year, and maybe he still won't, but there's a rumor about Calgary doing due diligence on Anthony DeAngelo, the Rangers defenseman who the Rangers said will never play for us again, essentially. And then there's another trade rumor about Sam Bennett, and he was not in the lineup on Thursday night. Now, the reporting is that there's nothing imminent on the trade front there. I know Darren Dreger of TSN said this morning here in Buffalo and WGR that, like, the Sabres have checked in on it, other teams have checked in on it, and that there could be a trade relatively soon, but nothing immediate right now. So Sam Bennett may be on the move. Maybe they're looking into Tony DeAngelo. What do you make of these two stories for Calgary?
Yeah, and it's funny because Darren Ferris, who is Sam Bennett's agent, is also the agent for Victor Mete, who asked for a trade out of Montreal, and that's a tough situation because that blue line is pretty solid. And basically, they came out one after the other, this news about Mete and Bennett. I get it. Bennett wants to play an elevated role in the top six. You know, he's dabbled in there. Apparently, he was asked if he wanted to play center or wing this season, and he preferred center. But he's down on the pecking order. They have Lindholm, they have Backlund, they have Dubé, and you know they're stacked at center. They have good centermen on this Flames roster. They have Monahan, obviously, and so like Bennett, who has 129 points, I think, in 300 and something odd games, hasn't lit it up in the regular season. He's had flashes of brilliance, but he hasn't been a superstar by any means. He's been a monster in the postseason, and it's been a tough fit with the Flames throughout the course of this 6-7 year span. He's got 1 point, Joe, in 9 games. He's -5, ineffective. You know, you could look at the healthy scratch that he received on Thursday night and be like, oh, he's just not playing well, and you need all your guys going, and the Flames are in a bit of a funk, and they dropped that game to the Jets last night, and you know, if Bennett was in the lineup, I don't even think that helps. I really don't. It's at that point. And so for the Flames in that situation, I'm curious and wondering if they say, Sam, can you just stick it out for this shortened season? We're already 10 games through it. You got 46 games to go, a couple more months. We'll expose you to the Seattle Kraken. They might take you, they might not. If they don't, we promise to trade you. But can you just stick it out? I feel like that's a conversation that's probably happened. And maybe he's so frustrated and angry, he says, no, I want out immediately. But we'll see where that goes. The D'Angelo stuff. Joe, I described this on my show here in Edmonton as this is a different kind of character situation, yep, character issue that we, I don't think we've really seen this type. I think it's new to the league. The political views, the podcast stuff, the social media stuff. It's a different kind of controversy that we're encountering, I think, for the first time in the NHL. At least in my, I can't recall something similar. And please, if you could think of something, let me know.
Yeah.
And then the infighting with the teammates and the physical altercations, all that, like that stuff where you've been bounced around the league because of stuff like that. You've been warned, and Gorton told him, like, one more incident, if your name pops up and you're on waivers, and sure enough, like a day or two later it happens. So he's gone. That's a pretty big red flag on top of the red flags that have popped up in his other stops around the league. Where was he? Tampa and Arizona. And he had been suspended for stuff like that before. You know, it's to a point now where, you know, how many chances is he going to get? I know he had a 53-point season last year. Some team will probably take a chance on him. Sean Avery is the closest thing to
this situation
I could think of. That was a decade ago. A decade plus, and that was an effective player in Sean Avery. And basically when he went back to New York and his career kind of faded, by the end of it, he wasn't even that effective of a player anymore. And I think all the stuff off the ice away from the game hindered it and basically diminished whatever he could do. And this seems to be going down that path similarly. But I don't know if it's completely the same. D'Angelo is much younger than Avery was when all that went down.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, I would never want him on my team at all. But for the teams, the teams that might think that they could stomach it, you have to weigh whether he's a good enough player to outweigh the what he does in the locker room, or like the at least the risk, the threat that he would present in the locker room. If he's getting into it with his goaltender in the tunnel because of a bad goal he gave up, like, that's not a guy I want anywhere around my team, forgetting about all the political stuff and his podcast and like everything that he does off the ice that just makes me sick sometimes too. So I don't know. I would say that he's not a good enough player to me to ever consider putting him on the team. Like, he, yes, put up big point totals last season. And I do think sometimes that offensive defensemen can get a narrative stuck to them of, well, this guy's so good in his own in the offensive zone that we kind of forget how good he is in the defensive zone. This is not one of those cases. Like, he is a disaster in his own end. And it's part of the reason he got healthy scratched earlier in the season by the Rangers. I know that was more so maybe because of there was a bad penalty he took in the first game too, but he's so bad in his own end that, like, there's reason to think you wouldn't want him on your team in the first place. So I think it would be ridiculous if Calgary signed him or traded for him, especially, by the way, the team that had the Bill Peters thing happen 1 year ago. Yeah. By the way, like, they're going to be the ones to do this. I just, it doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it still won't happen. Again, that's only one report to this point. So maybe they're not going to do it.
They have a good blue line too.
They
really do. So I don't know. I'm with you. I really am. It's a new one, and we'll see what happens. But I don't really like that deal for Calgary bringing them in. I could be wrong though.
By the way, last thing on them. Where do you see them finishing in the top four in that division?
The Flames?
Yeah.
Potentially, and I think it all boils down to the 10 games against Edmonton. I really do. I think Vancouver is slipping up, and I think it'll come down to Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Calgary for that final two spots. And I think this Battle of Alberta, which heats up on Saturday, will dictate it.
You said 10 games? Oh, right, because seven. There's only seven teams in the North.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, baby.
That's right. Oh, wow. Everyone else is already quickly getting to hate Matthew Tkachuk, so I can't wait for the Battle of Alberta to come about.
Fire it up.
I don't know, you're in Edmonton. I don't know how attached you get to, like, the rivalries and everything, but I could see you, like, hating Matthew Tkachuk from a distance. No doubt, if he was in the Sabres division, I would hate him. But from a distance, I love it because he just fires everything up and he brings hate to the game that we just like. He brings the extracurricular stuff to hockey that I kind of miss.
I won't lie to you. I don't mind it. And I think he's actually a very good, very effective player. So is his brother who got into it with Zach Cassian. And then the Oilers play them right after the Flames. So bring on the Tkachuks. I have nothing but respect for most of what he does and what he's capable of doing. Some of the stuff is
there's definitely
the
some stuff that crosses the line.
Yes,
no doubt. Yeah.
But he is a very good player.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep tabs on the North Division. It's maybe to me the most interesting one, but there's a lot going on in the league that you could argue with that. So thanks everybody for listening. Feel free to follow us on social media. I'm there at Sneaky Joe Sports. Tom is there at Tom Gazzola, and the podcast account is at Locked On NHL Pods. We'll talk to you next week here on the Locked On NHL Podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola.